Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A new movie out is set in the remote mountains of rural Bhutan. It may have a thing or two to say about America, the modern world. It is called The Monk and the Gun, and the director is an Oscar-nominated filmmaker from Bhutan. Pao Chining Dorji is with us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me, Scott.
So good to have you. So this is your second film, your first feature. Lunana, the Yak in the Classroom, was nominated for an Oscar. This new film, The Monk and the Gun, is set in 2006. This is a key moment for modernity in Bhutan. Television arrives in rural society, and one villager carries a new TV home on his shoulder with a bunch of kids following him down a path. You have lived inside and outside Bhutan. What are you trying to tell us about this key moment in society?
Well, you know, Scott, I come from such a unique country. We were the very last country in the world to connect to television, the very last country in the world to connect to the internet, and one of the only countries in the world where democracy was introduced without the usual revolution, civil war, and this demand for it, you know. It was introduced in a peaceful transition, and in a very strange way, when it was introduced, the people did not want it. That is such a unique circumstance through which modernization and democracy were introduced. And as a filmmaker growing up in that period, being a Bhutanese, living in that system, yet because of my father being a diplomat, growing up outside Bhutan and having this objective outlook on the change in Bhutan, I thought it was such an amazing story to not only share with the world, but to also make it so I can remind my fellow Bhutanese about our journey to modernization, our journey to democratization, and how in our quest to achieve something we thought we needed, we ended up losing what we already had.
And you present so much of this tension in the film so well, so funny in certain moments. And as you're saying, the king is bestowing democracy on people. There's a scene where there's English language radio describing this reality.
Bhutan, the country that was the last in the world to connect to the internet and even allow televisions, has just also become the world's youngest democracy.
And your message, at least to me, is, you know, democracy means choices, but choices mean divisions among people. People who disagree start arguing, fighting with each other. But how do you formulate this question, this tension?
We are a culture that is very rooted in our tradition, in our spirituality, that being Buddhism. So, you know, you're talking about a tradition that goes back 2,500 years. Because of that, we are a culture that really celebrates and venerates this beautiful quality of innocence. And as I was trying to show in the movie, when you have modernization coming in, when you have these choices coming in and democracy coming in this modern world, this beautiful quality of innocence can sometimes be looked upon as ignorance. And that is something I really wanted to highlight in the film.
One of my favorite scenes, which gets at what you've just been talking about, is this election official. There's a mock election, and he's trying to explain, this is how you rally. This is how you differ, right? You have these few choices. This is how you scream at each other. Here, divide up in two, right? Be different. Scream your side. Scream louder. And then this old woman comes up to him, and she says, why are you teaching us to be so rude?
Yes, and you know, Scott, I draw a lot of inspiration from true stories. The mock election that actually happened in Bhutan, you know, to teach a culture that is so seeped in traditions that date back centuries. And this change came overnight. And because it came all of a sudden, the way the people reacted to it was at a totally different level. Everything that you see in the film, the election officers teaching people how to vote, this old lady saying, oh, why are you teaching us to be rude? All that is actually, you know, true stories. When TV was first introduced, the villagers, you know, the TV overnight became a status symbol. Individuals like James Bond, you know, Rambo, this new culture coming through the TV, you know, all that actually happened.
Yeah. Let's talk about the gun, because it's the other piece of modernity that comes and disrupts society. And an elderly monk, a lama, asks his assistant, bring me two guns, which is such an odd question because no one has ever seen a gun. And suddenly the gun appears and this American's hired guide, this Bhutanese, tries to explain the virtues of guns, you know, from America. America has more guns than people. Wow. And in the Americans, in their version of the sutra, the second verse is about guns, right? Obviously reference to the Second Amendment. Why did you choose the gun as a symbol?
I wanted something to symbolize the coming of modernization. The gun seems something very, you know, obvious. It is, of course, not made in Bhutan. It is something that is coming from abroad. It symbolizes, I think, the modern world. Some people will say it's needed in society to bring order, to bring security. But if you ask some other people, they will say, oh, no, it creates a lot of suffering. So for me, you know, the gun symbolized that.
You yourself have lived in much of the world. How did your experience with capitalism, Coca-Cola, Big Macs influence your filmmaking?
You know, I had a very multicultural background. I grew up in India, I grew up in the Middle East, I grew up in Europe. Whether I was growing up in Kuwait, it was right after the Gulf War, you know, democracy, war, economics because of the oil, or be it me growing up in Switzerland where my father was working for the UN, and then of course me growing up in the US studying political science, I was in the midst of all these cultures where modernization, westernization, where democracy was celebrated, was venerated. And I think that had a huge impact on me. And then at the same time, one foot was in my country, in my culture, where the words of the Buddha, you know, are the guiding light, where we had a king. Everyone loved him. Everyone wanted him to be in power. But he was willingly giving it up for democracy. You know, that, I think, put me in a very unique position.
Speaking of kind of straddling the East and the West, you've also made your films under the guidance of a monk. How did that help you frame these issues on the screen?
Well, you know, I think one of the most enriching chapters of my life, I went and joined a renowned Buddhist master and filmmaker, Kensei Norbu. I became his student and I was, you know, living with him in his monastery in northern India, studying Buddhism and being introduced to the world of filmmaking. You know, who gets an opportunity like that to, you know, study Buddhism and spirituality, but also that very person teaches you how to make films. And I had that good fortune of being able to learn both from him. As you will see in The Monk and the Gun, you know, it is this balance of East and West. It is the balance of modern political thought and spiritual values of Buddhism. Learning filmmaking from a Buddhist master, it's a very amazing experience. Learning filmmaking where it is not about creating stories for commercial value or for name or fame, but then for a greater motivation. I think it was an amazing experience for me.
What do you want this film to accomplish? Or for those who are watching it, what do you want the audience to ask themselves?
For me, you know, Scott, I feel like films are really a mirror upon which the audience can see a reflection of their own values, of their own stories. And I think that's the beauty of films. Whether it is A Yak in the Classroom or The Monk and the Gun, these are stories from one of the most isolated societies, communities, and people that you can think of. It is a culture that, as I keep saying, it is rooted in Buddhist values dating back thousands of years. But again, there are very universal human qualities that you will see. Like, for example, The Monk and the Gun, it's from Bhutan. But then, as you said earlier, it touches upon how the people from this community will, you know, their understanding of the Second Amendment, their understanding that there are more guns than people in the U.S. And for that, I think in a light way, my hope is people watch this and I hope that it becomes a mirror upon which they can reflect their own stories. And with The Monk, as I said earlier, it's really about how in our quest to achieve something we thought we needed, we ended up losing what we had. And I think that is a story that goes beyond Bhutan. Wherever this movie has screened around the world, I feel each country, each people have found this story relatable, you know.
The film is The Monk and the Gun. Again, a satirical comedy about modernity, what it brings, what it takes away, based in Bhutan. And we've been talking to the filmmaker, Pao Chining Dorji. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much, Scott.